All right, so let's talk about three words as we start. We've been in the middle of a series this summer called A Summer of Surrender, Sacrifice, and Submission. I mean, when you think of three encouraging Christian words, would those be three that would really come to your mind? Like, hey, Pastor, I want to surrender my life. I want to sacrifice my life. I want to submit my life. That's probably not three words that you normally think about. Like, those words have to be a reminder to us of how we're supposed to live because they're challenging. And we don't do this naturally. We don't come by these three things naturally. And so we're going to talk about that and how that lives out. Last week, we studied Galatians 2:20. It says that Jesus, that we no longer live, but it's Christ who lives within us. And the life we live, we now live according to faith in the Son of God who loves us and gave himself for us. So that's the backdrop of this message today. How many of you know Jesus loves you? But not only does he love you, he gave himself for you. And that's an important Micah and Savannah, it's good seeing you guys here as well. It's a good reminder to us that love plays out in action. And if we say we love someone, we say we love our husband or wife or our kids or people, it has to live out practically. It has to live out in our action. And it's one, listen, I would rather have someone not say anything but show it than to make a big display of what they're going to do and then never do anything. So I want to be a person of action. I want to be a person of putting my faith to work in how I treat others and how I treat, of course, my walk with the Lord. So he loves us. He gave himself for us. Verse 24, Galatians 5, this is where we're going to start today in verse 24. Listen to this. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus, that's me and you, we belong to Christ Jesus, right? How many of you belong to Christ Jesus? You belong to him. He bought you with the price. So you belong to him. And so because of that, Jesus has nailed the passions and desires of our sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Now that has to be done by Jesus. We can't nail our own passions and desires and sinful nature to our cross that we're supposed to take up and follow Jesus because we're not capable of paying the price for our sins, but Jesus has and does, and so that's why we can nail those things to his cross and to leave them there, that we don't have to live the old life anymore, that we're dead to sin, we're dead to the old man, we're dead to our passions because those things have been crucified on Jesus' cross, and so we can live a new life in him. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that we can live a new life in him? And so what does that look like to live the new life in him? Well, because of the way this is arranged, if you go up to verse, say, 14 of Galatians 5, if you look at verse 14, and then you go down to about verse 25, okay, these are bookends to what's in the middle. These two verses, verse 14 and verse 25. So let's look at that, and then we'll fill in the blank in the middle. The first piece of bread or bookends of our sandwich today is what verse 14 says, and that is this. For the whole law can be summed up in one command, love your neighbor as yourself. So what does that look like? How do you do that? Well, here's what he says, verse 15. If you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out because or beware of destroying one another. So how do we love each other? By not biting and devouring at one another. Now, this is written to Christians. You mean Christians actually do those things? Or they can be, that can be part of their behavior or what they do? Yeah, we can bite and devour one another. We can be at odds with one another. We can not always love one another. So that's the first part. And then if you go down to verse 25, here's the other part of the sandwich. Okay, verse 25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So that's what we're supposed to do. That's the undercurrent of this whole thing. And then here's how that lives out as well. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So there it is. Here's the other part of the sandwich. Remember, love people, love your neighbor. And now we have, what's that look like? Don't become conceited. So that's an inward thing in your own life, but then it lives out in how we relate to one another, and that is that we don't provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So that's important. So we mash that sandwich together, and this is what we're going to talk about today. But as a kind of a side note, look at how many times we find twice it says, let us. The first one we find is found in verse 25 from what we just read. Let us follow the Spirit's leading. And then verse 26, let us not become conceited. And those two let us are important as we fill in the blank of what that looks like, of being a spiritually motivated person. How many of you want to be spiritually motivated? You want to be mature. You want to follow the Lord with all your heart. You want to be a Spirit-led, Spirit-guided, Spirit-life-filled person. How many of you want to be that way? You want to mature. I'll say it like this. Maybe you'd say, well, Pastor, I want to be that way, but I don't know how to get there. Well, I'm going to show you today how we can do that. But also, here's the idea. You may not have everything you need to get yourself there, but God will supply it. He'll help you get there. But you don't have to do it all at once. You can let the Holy Spirit build His resource and faith in you to get you to where you need to be. And that is a process. It's not an instantaneous thing. It is a process of following the Spirit's leading in our life. So that's the first one, is this. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Verse 16 of chapter 5, this is the meat of the sandwich today as we smash it together to get ready to eat it. The first one is this. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. And verse 16 says, when that happens, then we won't be doing what our sinful nature craves. Now, let's define that. So for each point today, we have a fill in the blank. We have a definition. Then we're going to fill it in with some verses that confirm what we're talking about. And then we're going to have the result of what happens if we do that. So the first one has to do with the Holy Spirit guiding our lives. And the word guide means to walk. If we were to define it, it means to walk. And the Amplified says it like this, that we not only walk, but we're responsive to His guidance. And that's what gives us the direction or the trajectory for where our path goes, that we're responsive to His guidance in our lives. So the Holy Spirit wants to guide us. He wants to direct our steps. And He's committed to that process for each one of us. He wants to help guide and direct our lives. The fortunate thing is this, that you're not on your own on this thing, that you have help. Now, sometimes people will fall into one or two categories. They'll be like, well, the Lord has to tell me, it, like we depend on the Lord for the whole thing, and we don't take responsibility. We're like, well, God, you got to do the whole thing. You got to show us what to do. You got to lead us in this. And until you make us do it, we're not going to do it. Well, there's a problem with that. He's not going to make you do anything. You have to partner with Him. The other side of it is this, that many times we don't receive the Holy Spirit's guidance. We think it's all up to us, that we have to muscle through it or push through it on our own, and that we have to use our own strength and our own ability to do it. But how many of you know both of those are extreme, and what we need is those two things put together? It's a partnership of God directing our steps, guiding us along the path of life. Us, if you will, is what it says. Let us, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. So what does that mean? It means that we have to submit ourselves to Him in that process. Look at what it says. Let us, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Let Him do it. Let Him do it, which means that we put our hands off the wheel and let Him do the driving. Let Him do the heavy lifting. But we don't always do that. We think it's either up to us or that He does the whole thing. But what it is, it's a partnership of us coming into alignment with what He wants to do in our lives. So the definition would be, it's like, basically like walking in a habit or a lifestyle that's consistent and also constant. So it's your walk of life. It's the way you live your life. It's a way of life, if you will. It's how you conduct yourself. It's how you carry yourself. It's how you order your manner of life or behavior. So it's not just a one-time thing, but it's how you, it's your whole awareness of life and how you carry yourself in your journey and your walk through life. Does that help anybody as far as the definition's concerned? Probably the greatest example of that we find in Scripture outside of Jesus would be a guy named Enoch. Do you remember him? In Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, this is what it says about Enoch. And this was his way of life. This is what he did. It says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, that's really about all it says about Enoch. There's not a lot of information we have about him, but this is what we do know about him. He walked with God. How many of you know that's a big deal? So his manner of life, the way he lived his life, was in partnership with God and fellowship with God and intimacy with God, in that he walked and he lived his life in close communion with the Father. You and I can do that as well through the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't you want that? Don't you want that close communion and fellowship and guidance and direction? You're not on your own. You're not alone in this, and you don't have to be. You do not have to carry this burden, your cross, alone. You can allow the Lord to partner with you in that, and he does it through the inward leading of the Holy Spirit. Deuteronomy 10:12 says this, "What do you require of us, Lord? Fear the Lord, walk in his ways, and love him. Serve him with your whole heart and with all your soul." And the way we do that is by walking in close communion and fellowship with him. Ezekiel 36 says this, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and you'll be able to do them." How do we obey God? How do we follow him? The way that that happens, and how do we love one another? Remember our pieces of bread, our sandwich? How do we not become conceited or provoke one another? How do we treat one another well? By staying guided by the Holy Spirit, by letting him direct our lives. That's so important. Colossians 2:6 says, "And therefore, you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." So if we've been born again and we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're supposed to walk in like he walked. Our manner of life, how we live our lives, how we carry ourselves, and those type of things all have to do with the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. All right? A couple noteworthy things in the New Testament that maybe you are aware of or maybe you don't know. And that is this, that we can walk in love, Ephesians 5:2. That we can walk in the light, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. That we can walk in wisdom, Colossians 4:5. And that we can walk in faith, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Now, if we let the Holy Spirit guide us in our lives, what will the result be? Look at what the rest of verse 16 says. "Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." Wow. How many of you know our sinful nature is a craving beast and it's never satisfied? You know, there's a craving inside of us to live our lives the way we want and to follow what wants to direct us, our passions, our desires, and those sort of things. And it can never be accomplished. It's always fleeting. It always promises a bunch but delivers nothing. And so how do we defeat that in our lives? By letting the Holy Spirit guide us. You see, the challenge that we have in life is who's going to be in charge. That's the challenge that we all face. Who is going to have dominance in your life? Is it going to be the Holy Spirit or is it going to be you? So let me ask you something. Let me ask you something about that, all right? When you've been in charge, how well has that went for you? How successful have you been? Now, I don't want to be sarcastic, but when you're in control of your life, does that go well for you? Do you do well in that? Do you find fulfillment in that? Are you fruitful? Do you feel like your purpose is being accomplished through that? Or is it that when you find most meaning in life, and when you find most fulfillment and the most fruitful time is when you feel God's pleasure in partnering with the Holy Spirit in how you walk in your life? And generally speaking, we can all relate to that. That we feel God, and we know that when we're... Listen, there's no greater joy as to know that you're in the will of God. There's no greater joy in life than to know that you're in the will of God. But when you're out of the will of God, that is a terrible feeling. That is a terrible feeling when you know that you're not where you're supposed to be or doing what you're supposed to be doing. That is not a good feeling. I want to know that I'm where I'm supposed to be, doing what God wants me to do. Don't you? Don't you want that? All right, number two is this. So the result of that is you won't do what your sinful nature craves. Number two is this. Let the Holy Spirit direct your life. Galatians 5:18 says this, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. So let's talk about the word direct. Okay, now these words are all very similar, but they're different when they're defined in the original language. So the word direct, if you were to define it, it means to be led, L-E-D, led. And the word led could be translated as movement under authority. So you're moving, but you're under the authority and the lordship of Jesus. So it's that partnership of letting the Holy Spirit lead you in your life, and you're under His, you're submitted to Him, and you're allowing Him to direct your steps, and you're under His authority. Now, there's two aspects of that word that I'll illustrate that'll give you a good way to see it or understand it. The first one is like an animal on a rope or a leash. Okay, that's the first part. So you're led. So an animal is being led by a leash. Now you can do that with a horse or a pet or something that's been trained. Some animals don't do that naturally, but for example, how many of you have cats? Okay, I have never seen in Salina yet, not yet, I've never seen someone walking their cat. Because cats don't do that. They're not led that way. Cats do what they want to do. They're independent, aren't they? But dogs or other animals that have been trained, and I guess you could train a cat to do it, but it doesn't come to it naturally, they are being led on a leash. And I thought about that. What does that mean? Well, you know what a leash does? It keeps the animal safe. Because it's tethered to the person that has the leash. So the animal's kept safe, but also the person, that there's security around that, but then not only are they safe from other predators, but they're secure next to their owner or whoever's guiding them and leading them in that way. All right, so there's a big visual with that. You see, now, so what are you tied to? What are you tethered to? Are you tethered to Jesus? Are you allowing Him to lead you? Now, I think you've probably all seen it, but you've seen when people are walking their dog, the dog is like pulling the person, okay? And then you've seen the animal or whatever it is that's reluctant, and then the owner's kind of pulling it around, you know? Or the more healthy visual is you see the animal walking right next to the person, and they're in tandem and they're in step with one another. You see, that's the idea. The idea is that He doesn't have to jerk us or pull us. The idea is that we're not, you know, trying to pull Him because we're impatient or we want our will or we want our way, but we are walking step, we're walking in tandem with Him. And that word submission in the New Testament, that's really what that means. Is that we are in submission. We are walking. It's a Roman word, and what it meant was that the soldiers, they were all in submission to one another, and they were one unit. And they would walk and fight next to one another. They were connected to one another in that way. The second part of that word is a struggle or agony that's involved. And the idea behind that is this. And Rick Renner does this real well. He said that it's like an opponent that's fighting furiously to throw the other opponent to the mat in defeat. So it's like a wrestling match or an MMA match where the one person is trying to make the other one submit, and they're trying to fight fiercely and throw the other one to the mat so that they can win. And so the idea behind that is this: not just that we're on the leash or that we're tethered to the Holy Spirit, but there's this struggle that's going on. There's this conflict that's going on with who's going to be in charge. And the wrestling match is between you, your flesh, and the Holy Spirit. And who's going to be, who's going to have the authority, who's going to submit to who. Now, the Lord's not going to submit to us, but sometimes He'll let us have our way to our own hurt, to show Him that, you know, you really don't want to do it your way. Like, the Lord will let you, He'll give you a little rope like that from time to time. And it's meant to teach us that we have to depend on Him more and more. You know, I've been doing this a long time, but you know what I've discovered? This may not be very profound to you, but there isn't one time that I sit here before I get up here that I say, Lord, I need Your help. I need Your help. Because I am not so good that I cannot not need Jesus. I got to have the Lord in whatever it is I do, wherever it is I go, whatever it is I need to say, and how I need to conduct myself and how I need to live my life. I got to have the Lord in my life. I got to have Him. And that means that I have to do it His way, that I can't do it my way. And really, I probably don't want to do it my way anyway. Listen to what it says about Jesus. Luke 4:1 says this: Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River, and He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. So even Jesus was led. If anybody could have got away with it and not been led, and could have went freelance and done it their own way, how many of you know it would have been Jesus? He could have got away with it. But you know what? You know how He lived His life? He was led by the Holy Spirit. Look at the contrast of that verse. Led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Wait a minute. Wilderness doesn't sound like it's a very pleasant place, does it? And yet, wherever it is you find yourself in life, however pleasant or unpleasant it is, or however challenging or dark it is, if He's with you, then you're going to be all right. And some of you have been through some of those things. Some of you are in the middle of some pretty dark, challenging things and places. But if He's with you, how many of you know if He's with you and He goes before you, then who can be against you? Isn't that true? Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Isaiah 30:21, you'll hear it with your ears. Right behind you, you'll hear a voice that says, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. Your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way you should walk in it. So you guys, we have a partnership with the Holy Spirit to help us and lead us and guide us in which way we should go in life. The longer we go along, the darker it gets. But it doesn't have to be dark in your life if He's with you. The more challenging life is that you're faced with, of all the things that are going on right now in our world and in our city, our lives, your families, listen, you can still be led. You can be directed. You're not in this alone. He's with you. He wants to partner with you. Remember what Jesus said? I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and He's going to help you. He's going to remind you of what I said. He's going to teach you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. But you have to cooperate with Him. You know what I've discovered too? There's a lot of Christians don't do this. They just don't do it. I don't know if they don't realize that they're supposed to do it, or they just, they're probably like me. They know they're supposed to do it, but they forget. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm supposed to let the Lord show me where I'm supposed to go or what I'm supposed to do. You know, and we have the desire that we want to do it, but we don't always follow Him in that way. Acts 16, this is probably one of the greatest examples we find in the Scripture, and it talks about Paul and Silas going in their missionary journeys and doing different things. And it says that when they were in the borders of Mysia, they headed north to the province of Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So they hit this roadblock. We don't know what it said. We don't know what happened. We don't know what that looked like, but it says that they couldn't do it. And then Paul has this vision, and it's a man from Macedonia, and he's standing there, he's pleading them, come over here, come to Macedonia and help us. And so they decided to do that. And here's what they concluded. This is what it says, that God was calling us to preach the good news there. So all along the way, you see the way they lived their lives is they were directed by the Holy Spirit. They thought, maybe we should go do this, or we want to do this, or this looks good to us, and yet the Holy Spirit stopped them. Could we be like that in our lives, where when we feel His prompting that we wouldn't do it, or we would do it when we're supposed to? Would we be so bold to live our lives that way? Even when we don't see all the information, or we don't know the outcome, that we would say, no, you know what, I need to do this, I need to follow this leading. And let me just encourage you with something, okay? Because a lot of people get hung up on this. So, well, I'm not sure, Pastor. I'm not sure if it's the Lord or not. Listen, is He big enough to not overcome your mistakes if you do it in faith? If you step out in faith and you believe that this is what you're supposed to do, and you're not really sure, and you don't necessarily have confirmation, or you don't have a certain leading, but you're not hitting any roadblocks, and you decide, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to go ahead and jump out. And it's a mistake. Is He not big enough to correct your mistake if you did it in faith? Is God big enough to fix your wrongs, or to make your wrongs right if you did it with the right attitude or the right heart? You did it in faith? I believe He is. The result is this. You're not under obligation to the law of Moses and to follow the desires of your sinful nature. So we have two things there, the law of Moses, and the law we know always pointed to Jesus, because the law, you couldn't do it in your own self. The law was there for one thing, and it was to show us that it didn't work. It didn't work. That we need Jesus. And the only way you can fulfill the law is by relationship with Jesus. That's the only way. And when you follow Him, you'll fulfill the mandates and the requirements of the law, and you won't do or follow the desires of your sinful nature. All right. Number three, live by the Holy Spirit. Live by the Holy Spirit. Verse 25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Notice it says every part of our lives, not just parts, but every part, that we live by the Spirit. So we're guided and we are led. We're led or directed. We're led and guided, or guided and led. And then finally, we're supposed to live by the Holy Spirit. The word live, again, is similar to what we talked about earlier, but it's defined as follow, as in a straight line. Okay, now again, it doesn't necessarily mean the trajectory of like how you're walking geographically. Like if I was going to go over here next door to get some chicken, right? That's the best thing they got over there, by the way. You go over there and you walk over there, I'm not going to go through the backyard to get there. I'm going to go straight there, okay? So it's not really talking about the quickest way there or the straightest way there in that sense. But what it is talking about is how we conduct ourselves in a right way, that what we do is right. And so it's kind of like this, that we're walking in a straight line and we're following Him that way through life and through experience. And it's His gift that allows us to do that. So it's not just a straight line in a very physical sense of getting to the place as fast as you can or the most efficient way, but it's more like, we'll say it like this, walking the straight and narrow. All right? Walking the straight and narrow. Unfortunately, if you got pulled over and you were somewhere that you shouldn't have been and you were indulged a little bit too much and the officer says, okay, get out and walk this line. And what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to walk it very straight and narrow. That's really what this is talking about. It's talking about how you live your life. Are you living your life on the straight and narrow? Like the word says, that the broad way leads to what? destruction, but the narrow way or the straight way leads to what? To life. And few find it. And that's found in Matthew chapter 7. So we want to be that way. We want to follow God in a straight trajectory in how we conduct ourselves in a right sense. The Holy Spirit will help us do that. He will help us live our lives in a right way, in the straight and narrow way. Romans 8:11 says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you." Did you know the Spirit is a spirit of life and not death? God is a God of life. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of life. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is life. And there is goodness and there is blessing. Wherever that is, wherever He is, there's life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says, "And He has enabled us as ministers of this new covenant not of written laws," that's what we referred to earlier as the laws of Moses, "but of the Spirit. The old covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life." When you allow the Holy Spirit to fill your life, there is life that flows out of that. There is goodness that flows out of that. And then finally, John 6:63 says this, "The Spirit alone gives life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I've spoken to you are Spirit and life." Did you know everything Jesus said and everything Jesus did was life-giving? And that's the way I want to be. I don't just want to be guided by the Spirit. I want to be led by the Spirit, and I want to be a person that where the life of God flows out of. Don't you want to be that way? Isn't that your prayer? So what are the results if we do that? Here's the results. You will be able to follow His leading in every area of your lives. How many of you want to follow the Lord's leading in every area of your life? Let's stand together. Follow the Lord's leading in every area of our lives. You guys, here's how this plays out. We want to do it, and we try to do it, but we inevitably come up short, don't we? Like if I were to say to you, how many of you want to be guided by the Holy Spirit? How many of you want to be led by the Holy Spirit? You'd raise both hands, right? You'd say, "Yeah, Pastor, I want to do that." How many of you want the life of the Spirit to come out of you? All of us would say, "Yeah." But inevitably, we don't do it, do we? So how do you get there? Here's how I think we do it. I think it's a process. I think it's a little bit here and a little bit there. Because when you look at the whole thing, it can be very discouraging or very disheartening. But here's what you can say. I want to be more guided. I want to be more led by the Spirit today than I was yesterday. See, that's doable. Or next week, I want to be more Spirit in tuned than I was last week. How about this? I want to be more of a Spirit-filled person next year than I was this year. You see, you can do that. You can do that. But you know what it's going to take? It's going to take you partnering with Him to allow that to happen. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to let Him partner with you? You're not answering me. So Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. We need you, God. We need you in our lives. Just ask Him right from your chair today. Say, "Lord, I want to be guided by you." Just say it. "Lord, I want to be guided by you. I want to be led by you. And I want your life to be in me." Now here's how I want to close. This week, when you're doing whatever it is you do, whatever it is you're doing in your vehicle, at school, at the job, when you hear the Lord speak to you to either do something or not do something, this is what I'm talking about. This is being led and guided. You're about to pull the trigger on a new car. You're about to buy a new house. You're about to buy that new shirt. You're about to say something. You're about to have a conversation with someone. And you hear that voice in your head say, don't go there. You're about to look at something on a screen that you shouldn't be looking at. And you feel that prompting of the Holy Spirit saying, you have no business being there. Get out of there. This is where real life lives out. And this is where you and I become better tomorrow than we were today. All right? And He'll do it. If you ask Him like you just did, He'll do it. The partnership comes when we obey Him and we submit to Him. So Lord, today we want to be that way. We want to submit to You. We want to be led by You. We want to be guided by You. We want the life of the Spirit to come alive in each one of us today. And so help us with that, Lord, in every area of our lives. And we thank You for that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.